Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. Let's go. What a big day. Astros at 2 and Rockets at 5:30 today. Are you excited?
Yeah, I am. I'm very concerned. I'm highly concerned about the Rockets with no Russ for now. Don't know the status on Russ. We're going to find out more. We just know he's not playing today. But yeah, I'm excited. This is really what I live for as a fan. It's not the regular season. I mean, it's a postseason, and we're here. And this is where you test your mettle. And you know, this is what the bubble has been all about, is getting to this point. And now that you're here, you know, I think it'd be a little different if you were playing +4 basketball headed in, as opposed to a 4-game losing streak. That certainly doesn't help your energy level. But it's Chris Paul on the other end of that court. Yesterday, PJ Tucker talked about the fact that he knows that Chris Paul, with his competitive nature, is, you know, giving out scouting reports left and right to everybody about how every single person plays for the Astros, and that he
for the Rockets. Rockets,
and he's going to be ready to go. And so, you know, we'll see how that one turns out. But I wouldn't expect anything less from Chris Paul. But you can say what somebody's going to do and then stopping it is two different.
Who needs it more, Chris Paul or James Harden?
I think James does. I mean, Chris Paul is, you know,
they're
Chris
both going to be Hall of Famers.
Yeah, but Chris Paul, James Harden.
Chris Paul hasn't
James
won either.
James Harden is called the greatest scorer in the history of basketball
by James Harden, by his general manager.
Yeah, but James Harden, no, but he might be right.
He might be.
Be right. And yet, you know, James has never even been to an NBA Finals. Granted, there's been a tough team in his way, but I think James has won. You're talking about a guy who's in the top two, top three of MVP finishes damn near every year he's been a Rocket. But the success in the postseason just hasn't equated. You've got a nickname for James. You don't have a nickname for Chris Paul. You know, elimination Chris Paul. I don't hear that. But Chris has had his own issues in the postseason. We know that. I mean, it's not like he's gotten through either. But I just think James needs it because he's a bigger player. He's a bigger brand name player. He's a bigger superstar. Chris Paul is a star. James is a superstar.
Yeah, Chris is getting over with his State Farm commercials. He's getting over.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. On the basketball court, he's not. He doesn't have the same.
No, he's one of the all time great point guards.
He's been good. He's not considered one of the top 5 point guards even in the league now.
Well, not now, but he was during his time.
I'm talking about right now.
Oh, yeah.
James is a superstar. Chris is not a superstar. That time has passed for Chris.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, he's a superstar because he's well-known, though. He's still a superstar.
I mean, yeah, but I'm talking about his basketball legacy.
Right now. His last basketball level now, but
his basketball legacy right now, who needs it more? James Harden does, because he's in that superstar status. And he's played. It's not like he doesn't have time in the league. I mean, he's been a Rocket since 11.
Yeah, I guess Chris Paul.
We're talking about over 10 years for James Harden in the league. And Chris has been in the league probably a lot longer than you think. Chris
probably
has been
going
a long time.
Going on 20.
That's what I'm saying.
We know Chris Paul ain't ever won in a championship.
No. The question is still,
it's still up
James.
In the air for James. Yeah. It's still up in the air. I don't know that James will ever win. When you weren't here yesterday, AJ and I were talking about it, and I've said it. The Rockets are in a James Harden purgatory. If James Harden is your best player, are you ever going to win a championship? You know what? You're going to find out, because the window is going to start to close for James too. Now,
I think James is like
unless he gets with. You know, a trio of guys, if he's able to get somewhere, or Daryl's able to bring together a trio of some kind of great players that can possibly get it done. Otherwise, James is going to be in purgatory.
Well, his talent, he didn't show the window closing from a talent standpoint. He's playing the same high-level basketball that he's always played. I mean, that doesn't show any signs of being a window closer on him. I mean, the concern for him right now is he's got a long-term contract he signed with the Rockets. He's beholden to Daryl Morey and whoever the head coach is, and Tillman Fertitta. I mean, he needs things around him. James can control what James can control, which he still has. He's still on the hook for his own execution in the postseason. That's still his, you know, how he executes and plays. He's on the hook for that. But if he's a guy that doesn't just elevate those around him, then you have to, you know, some the greatest can elevate those around him. Most players have to have certain things around them to win at a high level. And so that's going to be up to Daryl to keep trying to, you know, he's approaching it with this with the superstar mentality. I've always felt like maybe the Rockets were better off without worrying about one single superstar and getting different pieces. I still think the one star, a second, you know, kind of star, like Russ to me is going all in with two big alpha players, Russ and James. Those are alpha playing styles. And I think, you know, I really worry about the ancillary players if you have enough. Because Russ is very up and down. James, we know, plays at a high level. And then your ancillary players, I would say on paper, they're not good enough. But what we've seen in the bubble is Ben McLemore has played pretty well. Eric Gordon, we haven't seen the best of Eric Gordon yet. But we also don't know if we're going to see the best of Eric Gordon this year. There's a possibility that you won't. When I say the best, I just mean this year. I don't know if the ancillary players, the Covingtons, are good enough. You know what it feels like? It feels like just one of those Marcus Morris type of Pat Patterson. When they had these guys and they're like, it feels like that kind of basketball before James got here, where the players around James Harden feel like that same kind of just a bunch of 6'7" guys who are pretty good players, but don't really stand out in any particular area. So I don't know. This is why it's all very intriguing to me, because this is a matchup that the Rockets, you say, should win. They're a 2.5-point dog in this game. So at least the number I saw yesterday, they're an underdog
at home.
This game. Yeah, at home.
At home. That's saying something.
At home, they would be, so at home, they would be a 1.5-point favorite, more than likely. If it was really home, they'd be a 1.5-point favorite today.
Yeah.
I think it'd be probably a 4-point swing.
Could, yeah.
These are neutral.
If it was real home. If it was real home.
Now, that's without Russ.
That's right.
We'll see what Russell's
worth. No, if Russ
was
there, the Rockets would be a favorite.
We're going to see what Russell's worth to the line makers, an exact number of what he's worth.
We will. We definitely will, because this is a neutral site. The whole time is going to be a neutral site. He's going
to
play.
Yeah, so we'll be able to tell exactly how they kind of view Russ.
What is Russ? What do you think when Russ comes back?
My guess, Russ is worth 2.5 points.
My guess is no. Well, it depends on how the series is, where the series is, and if the Rockets have to win.
It'll flow by a good full point.
Yes, yeah. I think the Rockets would be maybe a 2-point favorite.
Well, I guess you also have to take into consideration, would they have lost 4 straight? Probably not. I think losing that much in a row in a short period of time in the bubble is a concern for a line maker, because they have to use smaller sample size and put more into a smaller sample size. I don't think they're looking at this as, well, what's happened this year so far in their 70 plus games? What happened in February is irrelevant right now. To me, I don't think you can.
Oh no!
Like, you have to judge the Suns as bubble Suns.
No, you have
to judge the Lakers right now as bubble Lakers. It's almost a separate season of.
No, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. I mean, it's way different, because first of all, it's a neutral site, and here we go, and we see what these teams have been after the break. We see if we see Portland. What would Portland be against the Lakers in February versus what Portland is against the Lakers right now?
Right.
Well, we can't tell, because that line isn't up. Is there any reason? Anybody know why that line isn't up?
Probably just checking on LeBron's status.
Well, LeBron's going to play.
Well, I know, but I think you just want to make sure. Because LeBron didn't play the last couple, right?
Yeah, but that was just because they didn't need him. Now it's the playoffs. I don't know why. Milwaukee's a 13-point favorite over Orlando. Miami is a 5-point favorite over Indiana, and right now Oklahoma City is -2 against the Rockets. So you got that. We've also got our Astros with another sweet pitching performance. Bielak, what the heck, fire?
I tell you what, the starters, like, this is kind of crazy how many one hitters and two hitters. I'm gonna go look at their hits per inning pitch for the starters? Because they've had some blow up. Like Javier had a blow up inning.
Yeah.
McCullers had a blow up inning. But I mean, when they're not having blow up innings, they're not even giving up hits right now.
I mean, six innings, just one hit, yeah. one earned run, four walks, and four strikeouts.
Didn't look great. No, like, but he's just locating, and guys just aren't. They're pitching to some contact. It's just strange to see. Look at Javier before him. Look at Fromber. Look at Lance McCullers. I mean, it's not unusual to see an Astro. As a matter of fact, Brian McTaggart has already been faded by people and then come back and done it again on purpose. Every time somebody gets to the third inning with a no-hitter, which has happened like four times this year already for the Astros.
I know it's
three-inning no-hitter, whatever. It's no big deal. But for these guys?
Yeah.
For these guys that no one knows?
Is Taylor the...
He came in yesterday as a closer. Blake Taylor did.
Yeah, he may be the guy.
I don't see why.
Well, you
he
used
be.
Presley a couple days in a row, so you had to give him some time
I'm
off.
To the
but
point
I don't
where
see
I'm
why
Presley
not.
Schmitt
and I love how he's using. You know what? He's not throwing his last couple of appearances. Josh James is not throwing more than an inning.
Nope.
That's it. I guess he learned something that we knew. You cannot throw the dude for more than an inning. I mean, now the three appearances ago, he threw one inning and gave up four runs. But then one inning and one run, but you can't throw them two or three innings. You just can't. So Josh James is coming in, and actually one of the players I heard from someone, one of the players said, "Man, dude, Josh James, we really like him. We really liked him when he was throwing 100, but when he starts, he's down to 94, 95 because he knows he can't blow out his arms."
That's been my whole point this whole time. Why would you take a guy with that big an arm and not just use him as a specialty hammer, as a one-inning guy in the seventh inning?
Right.
It never made sense. Work on a second pitch and make him a one-inning guy. Starters look different. Starters pitch different. Starters have – you don't take out a 100-mile-an-hour arm, a wild stallion type of arm, and we're going to put a saddle on you, and we're just going to really put you in this lane. And
right. You're turning a sprinter into a miler.
That's not what he is.
That's not what he is.
You know who they are by now.
Yeah, right. And Josh, that's exactly what Josh James, and he's using.
I'm not saying he's a closer, but he's a short-term
player. He's using Josh James correctly.
Yeah.
And then there's Jose Altuve. Holy cow. Holy cow. He's just, it is, you know what? You put the 129 hitting Toro into the two hole and you kept, you know what? It might be time to put Altuve back into the two hole and give him some, give him some confidence and go, no, this is where we want you. This is where you're going to hit today. Let's go. And hopefully he'll come up with a hit. My God, when is the last time Jose Altuve got a hit? This is unflippin' believable. Well, he got one against. He had one hit. He's gotten three hits in his last 11, 16, 20 at bats. He's hitting 150 over the last five games. Wow. 713 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Doc Linville. Doc Linville is my man. My wife says, let your hair grow. Like Fred. My wife saw Fred's and she said, you know what? Let it go. Let it go like Fred's, and I'm going to try and get it. Fred's going long on the sides. I'm going to try to do that too, and you know what? It's going to be hard to catch up, but I'm going to try. Here's the deal: is if you're looking for more hair, if you want to get rid of that baldness, like that giant, like Jackie, it's embarrassing when you look at Jackie and you see his head, and then you look at mine and go, "Wow, that is long and flowing and beautiful." And you say, I don't want to be like Jackie. Well, of course you say that. But here's the deal is Doc Linville, he can help you not be Jackie. Okay? All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and see for yourself how beautiful, flowing, and luscious your hair can be. I'm not even joking. It's easy. The process is wonderful. It's actually affordable. It's not nearly as expensive as you think, or it used to be when they cut your head in the back and they did, and it was so painful. This is a great process. You'll love it. You'll love everybody that he works with. They're so professional. 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
More talk, less commercials. Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
We are here for you. La, 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 la.
Hey, guys, if you aren't feeling like yourself, if this is something that, and maybe it happened before the pandemic popped up, because we all, you know, the pandemic, and sometimes the pandemic will actually just kind of exacerbate something that was already in place that you hadn't really thought about. Men's T Clinic is a great place for you to consider going if you just feel like you've got the blahs and you just feel like, you know, you're in a funk right now. Because what happens is when your testosterone levels drop from where they were in your 20s and your 30s, your energy level will drop. You'll start to see a decline in muscle mass in your upper body, especially your belly. The belly flab becomes more prominent. And it can have a big impact on your libido, just your overall general way of life, your quality of life. Go to Men's T Clinic and get back to being the real you. It's a game changer, and it's something that I think you're going to see an unbelievable difference in your quality of life. When you go, they've got new location in Spring that is open. They've got locations around the Dallas area. If you have friends and family, Grapevine is open right now. But they have so much that they can do that in terms of getting a tailor-made treatment plan for you so that you are back to your optimal levels. And the difference between having the lower level of testosterone and the level that you're supposed to have is night and day. And you will feel it. You'll see it in 2 to 3 months. You'll feel it in about 3 to 4 days. Menstclinic.com. Go find a location for yourself or go read up about how it can benefit you at menstclinic.com.
What about you now? Everybody walking like me now. Everybody talking like me now. Heard on what they want to be now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here is Richard Justice. Jackie, who is hairless, sent this. Astros.
Hold on.
What?
Jackie, who is hairless.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a designation of how you want to.
But does he have hair? No. Then okay. So there you go. He's hairless. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm just speaking facts.
Yo, get your man.
If I was lying about it, if I said, "Oh, Jackie with the luscious head of hair," you'd say, "Well, that's not right. That's a lie. It's not a lie."
Okay, what have you talked to Jackie about his hair loss? Do you think he's comfortable with you just, identifying him by being bald?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
You've had that conversation, so he's okay with it.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just prefer that you call him Jackie.
No.
I mean, it's tough enough being called Jackie as a man.
I know, as a man.
But then...
if you're...
But then...
Just walk around with a name like Jackie like that, and then...
You're tossing on bald?
Oh, tossing? I don't know about...
What?
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
Fine. Adding on bald? Fine. Yeah. If that works for you. You think Jackie's appreciative? It's not like he goes, "I'm bald Jackie," when he talks to people. He just says, "Hey, my name's Jackie. Please don't make fun of me because of it."
Mm-hmm. Your fake hair hat ain't fooling anybody, Granato. It's not a fake hair hat. Oh, that's why. Doc, Linville Jackie. You see? Jackie's. Okay. Okay. Jackie's coming at me. You see?
Told you he didn't like it.
Hmm. Astros rotation. Richard Justice tweeted this out. Astros rotation, 1.89 ERA last 10 games. Best in the majors.
Wee.
Astros starters have finished 5-plus innings and allowed one earned run or less 7 times in this stretch.
Wee.
That's pretty good. That's pretty flipping good.
That's the eyeball test.
Yeah.
Now do the bullpen.
Oh, they were bad for a while.
But they're getting better. But recently.
No.
I mean.
They're getting better.
Seattle makes you better
because the Astros aren't scoring any runs again.
It's again.
Again.
Again, there's no runs. Again, there's no hits. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like 2004 Astros who weren't scoring any runs.
Yeah.
Or 2007. 2005. 2008, 9, 10, 5,
well,
11, 12, 13. It reminds me of all those Astros teams where it's Adam Everett in a prayer. It's like, well, we'll see what happens with either Adam. Yeah. Who should we hit here? Tim Bogar or Adam Everett or Brad Ausmus? I don't know, guys. Which one of those heavy hitting back into the lineup hitters should we lean on?
What is it about Carlos Correa, a dude who's hitting 304, the only guy that's knocking in any runs, that he can't get out of the sixth hole? Why don't they move Bregman up to 2 and Correa to 3?
I don't know. I'd have.
A couple of years ago, he actually hit third.
Carlos needs to be in the top four spot.
Yes. Right, he's the only guy. How about the double? I mean, he's the only guy swinging the bat.
Did you see where I didn't get I meant to get to it yesterday. Yeah, and Machete.
Yeah.
I meant to get to it yesterday.
Well, you keep Machete down there. By the end of the year, Machete's going to be a .212 hitter.
Yeah, no, I'm not asking that. Just he's hitting, but I'm not asking to use him up. No, he may not be. Only 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
Machete may hit about .270 this year.
What do you think Machete's hitting right now?
I'd say .250.
Okay, let's take a look, and I'm going to...
I know this. Every time that I watch him with men on base, he gets RBIs, it seems like.
Stats. Let's see. Machete Maldonado is hitting at this average of the last 7 days. He's in .333. Mm-hmm. His average for the season is...
I'm too low.
Regular season. What the hell?
This is just terrible radio.
This is.
Baseball's batting average is the easiest thing to find.
I know.
Just type his name and stats.
That's it. That's unbelievable. I can't.
Don't worry.
Okay. Right now he's hitting .235.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Which
has been hot. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Well, by the end of the year, he'll be .212-ish. It's what he does. He's a .219 career hitter, and that's about where he'll be. He should be. But he comes up with huge hits because guys ahead of him have been on, and he's come up with huge hits and huge RBIs, and that's wonderful. It's not gonna change much. That's what he's gonna be, and that's awesome. But Carlos Correa in the six hole now. You've got Yuli in front of him.
He's got 15 RBIs right now.
Yeah.
In 18 games.
He's been wonderful. He's Carlos Correa. I don't know why, dude. I mean, there's a stigma in the organization. Like last year, when he wanted $5 million, they were like, "No, we'll go to arbitration with you for $4.25," but we'll give a Bregman $100 million if he squawks at all.
Well, maybe they just know he's. Well, I don't care if you think he's staying or not. He needs to be in the middle of the lineup now.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you think he's so psychologically frail that you can't possibly move him or he'll fall apart, which. That doesn't strike me as Carlos Correa. I mean, I know Carlos has had his ups and downs hitting, but Carlos right now is in a good place. I mean, swinging the bat well, he looks extremely confident. This is confident as he's ever looked as an Astro. Move him up in the lineup and get him one additional at bat if you need to. And here's something else. I didn't get to it yesterday, but a really sad thing happened over the weekend. A report came out that it looks like A-Rod is beginning to emerge as A-Rod and J-Lo, I guess, as the front runners for principal, you know, owners of the Mets here in the very near future. And if that's the case, that just plays right into the New York, Carlos Correa, A-Rod, Puerto Rican fan base, the whole nine yards. It's always been one of those things where you say, well, he can't be a Yankee because Didi and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what he could be? He could be a Met. And if A-Rod's there and he's got a chance to go to New York and have all that for him and Daniela to have more exposure from a media standpoint and a branding and marketing, that I was hoping A-Rod would somehow lose out on that battle, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I mean, he got paid $100 billion as a player.
Yeah, he's got
he's got
J-Lo money now.
He did it the right way, yeah. J-Lo money's pretty substantial.
J-Lo money's great.
J-Lo money's still coming in.
Yeah.
He's doing like MLB, he's doing baseball broadcasts and whatnot. J-Lo still fills out stadiums. And
yeah.
J-Lo's got J-Lo's got to be making more per year right now.
Don't forget he's got car dealerships and he's doing
True. Yeah, that's true.
I don't know.
He's got some other
stuff. Yeah. I don't know. She'd probably beat. Yeah. No. You know, he probably gets quite a nice check from ESPN, but not like J-Lo money. J-Lo money, stupid money. I don't know. Let's get John in here. He wants to talk about his Astros. What do you say, John?
Hello?
Hey, John. How you doing, man?
Oh, hey, yeah, I want to talk Astros hitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's 2017, and I don't think it's because of the trash can. I think it's because of a swing for the fences. It seems like the Astros don't hit opposite field as much, and I think that's why they're not getting hits. It just seems like everybody goes up there, no matter the situation, and just goes for the home run. I thought I saw that in 18 and a lot last year. Am I seeing the same as y'all, or, you know, have y'all seen this also?
That's baseball. That's baseball since 2016. 15, everybody run up there and see if you can't hit a homer. Let's not, when the shift is on, let's not go the other way. Let's not poke a base hit. Let's just power through. That's baseball. That's how it is now. And that ain't, it ain't changing, John.
It just seems like 17 was different. And it reminds me of Bagwell. Like when Bagwell won the MVP, he had a lot of, like 40% of his hits were in the opposite field.
Yeah.
And then he just totally abandoned it. And then he became a full hitter, strike out more, and just didn't get his average went down. It just seems like they can't go to analyze this and see what's, I don't know. It's just funny. Hits is what makes runs.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. No, it sure would be nice to get some guys on base. You know, that's what analytics is about. Of course, they don't have Luno anymore. The on-base percentage, you know, low strikeouts, put ball in play, that kind of thing. That's what analytics is supposed to be about. But it's the game is just how about Fernando Tatis apologizing? Now, the game, it's 7-0, bases loaded, 3-0 count in the eighth inning. They're winning 7-0. It's 3-0. Dude throws it. Tatis hits a grand slam. Good baseball, bad baseball. Was that bad? What do the unwritten rules say?
Unwritten rules are in that particular instance, you don't tee off on a red light on a green light fastball.
On a 3-0 fastball, 7-0. Right, bases loaded.
That's what baseball rules would tell you, but I that's kind of out for me with how much offense is out there now. I just don't think you can operate that way.
Well, it back in the
I know day, in 2006 what it would have
dude
been.
Dude would get one in the ear hole tomorrow. Back in the day,
or at least in the hip or the lower back.
Yeah, right.
Maybe not ear hole.
Well, Bob Gibson would throw his head, but you know what? Then don't go 3-0. Then don't load the bases. I don't know. I know it's not good form. You take that 3-0 pitch because...
Dell is a big baseball guy. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm reading some of the quotes from the manager. Did you know the Padres manager was named Tingler?
Sounds like something you'd find at a porn store.
Well, maybe.
A Tingler?
But his name is Jace.
Baby, guess what I got us for the trip? I got a Tingler.
You got him a Jace Tingler for the trip? Jace Tingler, first-year manager for the Padres. Said,
I don't want those things. Oh, I only want you.
No, I know you want a Tingler. Because I know I got that weak D, so I'm not getting the
dunk. Whoa.
That's what...
Save that, Del.
Why would I save that? He's young, a free spirit.
Well, doctor, save that.
Go ahead. I don't care. I'm not as... I don't care. He's
young. But who's going to play it?
Yeah. You're going to play it on Twitter? Fine. Okay, whatever. He's young, a free spirit, and focused, and all those things. The last thing that will ever take away, it's a learning opportunity. That's it. He'll grow from it. Apparently, he missed a take sign. So the manager said, hey, take this. Don't swing 3-0. Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was missing it, Bob.
Yeah. Apparently, the Rangers threw the next pitch right behind Manny Machado. The Rangers. I didn't like it personally, Woodward said. The Rangers skipper, Chris Woodward. I know you all knew that. But like I said, the norms are being challenged on a daily basis. So just because I don't like it, it doesn't mean it's not right. I don't think we liked it as a group. So we're supposed to, in baseball, you're supposed to just say, look, I know you're just trying to get this pitch over so you don't walk a guy, so I should just take this opportunity not to swing?
Yeah.
Not to
get four RBIs, but not to get a home run,
but there
not
is,
to get a big
right
paycheck.
Now, there is a clash of cultures where you have a Latin American culture. It's been going on for, but it's multiple cultures. It's younger players in general don't have the same old school mentality.
No.
So there's that blurring of the lines. You have the Latin players, which is a completely different brand of, you know, think of it like NFL. I mean, Latin players have always been more like the NFL celebrations. They have more flair in the leagues that they come from. That's something Lima told us years ago. Like, this is, I mean, we're talking about what Lima's telling us in the early, you know, back in like the early 2000s. So that was late 1999. Lima's talking about this 20 years ago. So this is, the Latin culture is different anyway, and there's more Latin players in the league than ever before. The younger players are different. We saw it with Bryce Harper. They've got a different mindset than some of the old school unwritten rule. And so these clashes are kind of slowly working themselves out. And also, I think it's the idea that, it's no longer a pitcher's league. I mean, it's been a hitter's league for a while. So now, 7 runs doesn't mean you're in. It doesn't mean it's the game's over. I mean, you got a really good chance at 7. You got a really good chance.
No, I think you got to take 3-0 fastball. You got to take 3-0.
Well, he was given a 3-0 fastball, and he missed it. Do you really think he missed it? I don't think he missed it. He's like, no.
He missed the sign, you mean?
Yeah. No, well, yeah, he's given us a take, and he missed the sign for 3-0 fastball. He didn't miss a sign.
He didn't miss no sign. He just said, I'm hitting this. This is a meatball. I'm going to hit it. I'm going to give me some 4 RBIs. That's what I'm going to do.
It was his second homer of the night, and the second in 2 innings. He had hit a 3-run homer the inning before.
All right, time to talk to John Clay Wolf. And they picked up the car yesterday. I've got to get something straightened out with the title, not surprisingly. But we got the car. The dude, Zane, who's here, we got guys right here in the Galleria, people that will pick up. They pick up 70, 80 cars a week here in the city of Houston and send them up to Dallas to be, you know, fumigated and then get to auction. And we are a huge, huge market for John Clay Wolf. And I've just added to your collection here, John Clay Wolf.
What's wrong with your title?
So it had the lien by the credit, and I've got to go to the DMV and get the lien off. And I said, why don't you just send me a letter? And they were like, no, you got to go to the DMV. I've never heard of that. Have you?
No.
Yeah.
They want to expose you to the Rona.
No, I know, right? And I don't even know if the DMV's open right now. So this could, I don't know what the heck we're going to, you know what, just give me my money. I don't care.
I'd love to give you your money. I just need my title.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not worried about that nearly as much as I'm worried about my money.
Isn't that the damn truth? That's why we do it. Because if we can't get a title, we can't get our money.
Yeah, I know, but I don't care as much about that, like I said.
I understand. Yeah. But you'll run into that everywhere you go, because really those titles are my only way to get money.
Right. And so it was easy, people. It is so easy. You go to GiveMeTheVin.com. You'll probably talk to Zane here, or Zane will pick up the car here in the city of Houston. And he's a really nice guy, and he's going to take care of it. He's going to make sure that you get as much as you possibly can. And if he told me, he said, we were driving yesterday. He dropped me off, and he said, yeah, if I mess up, I hear it from John Clay. Don't worry about it. If I give too much money for a car, I'll hear about it.
He says, I manage my stuff still a little bit from up top. That's good.
Mm-hmm. That is. That's great stuff. But he said, we always pay more. He said, since he started doing this for how long, he's only had to give out $100 check because he always pays more. And the one time it was just ridiculous how much more that they were paying. So he said, go ahead, go get it, because I'd rather not lose on that. But if you're looking for the most for your car, this is the guy right here, John Clay Wolf. And a good chance you're going to talk to Zane when you go to GiveMeTheVin.com. GiveMeTheVin.com. It was a pleasure doing business with you, John Clay Wolf.
Well, thank you, John Granato. I'm glad that you thought of us.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I think about you all the time because of these commercials. John Clay
Wolf. Are the Rockets, have they started yet?
They start today.
Today.
5:30.
Mavericks lost last night. That was disappointing.
They suck. Yeah, they suck.
All right.
There's nothing we can do about it. We got to go. John Clay Wolf, thanks, buddy.
Bye.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, cleaning something up. I forgot Didi Gregorius left the Yankees, but it's Gleyber now, so ain't going to be no Carlos. I mean, unless Carlos switches positions, but Carlos ain't going to play. Right now, at this point, you can't take a guy like Carlos Correa at a shortstop. You just can't. Just too much range, too big an arm. And Gleyber in New York, he won't be a Yankee. He'll be a Met. I wish he'd stay.
You know what? He and A-Rod, they have the same agent now. A-Rod's going to buy the Mets. And A-Rod's the one, right.
Well, that's why I brought it up earlier, is that was really bad news for the Astros. Yeah. But A-Rod is with the Mets. That was the whole point of me bringing it up, is that, you know, that just locks him into the Met.
Being a Met, though, is it really being in New York?
No, but, you know, is that you really? Could have said the same. You mean, you can say the same thing about the Clipper. Being a Clipper when you could be a Laker. It just, those things change. They can change quickly.
Yeah.
And it's New York.
Right.
I mean, the Mets had their time, just not for years and years and years, but maybe with A-Rod. And look, when you're a Yankee, you're one of many. When you're a Met, like, you're the dude where you would have a chance to be.
And A-Rod's got all the connections for getting everybody their steroids.
So stop it. So where are you going to?
Why?
How much longer does he have? Do the Astros have with him?
One more year.
After 22, right? Or after 21?
They have this year and next, right?
Yeah. Man, this window is going to be a lot shorter than that. It feels shorter. The window feels like it officially opened in 15. And it's going to officially close probably after this year.
So there was a story out about, you know, well, we'll see what happens with Springer, because Springer thought he was going to have a contract this spring, and he doesn't have a contract.
I hope George doesn't perform well this year.
Well, and that's a problem for him. This whole thing is a problem for him. Everybody who's coming out as a free agent this offseason is a problem, especially if you're performing poorly. Why is he orange? Like
Tim Legler?
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks weird.
He looks orange. So there was a story about who's likely to get traded this season. And maybe George Springer, or maybe it's Carlos Correa. You might want to get the most value you can for Correa while he's hitting the ball the way he is.
Would you do it in season?
Yeah. I mean, you almost have to, before the trade deadline.
Yeah, because you want someone to have a full... Yeah.
Well, you get a year and a half of Carlos.
Yeah, you don't want a rental situation.
Which gives you even more. You know what? If it's only 1 month, because it's all it's going to be before the trade deadline, a month and a half, that's all you're going to get the guy, is then you know, I'm not giving up that much. But if I've got him for a year and a year and a half, now that's a different story.
Let me throw this out there, and it's something that has not been discussed, and it's certainly probably not on the Astros' radar. But a short-term sell-off, if you believe that it's going to be a Tommy John injury for Justin Verlander and that he's done, and you know Greinke's money, you don't want to give him any more than once his contract's over, you want it out. And you see some young pitchers who are showing some signs, and Yordan's back now. You know, what about the concept of saying, well, maybe a sell-off? Maybe a sell-off of Greinke, maybe a sell-off of Carlos Correa. Maybe I don't know what Greinke would get you back, but you know, it would give somebody who's in contention for a title a legitimate third starter, and maybe second, but for sure a good solid third starter. You have Carlos Correa, who has long-term potential. Of course, the fear would be that Carlos would not stay with you. But that's, you know, you hope you'd still get the value for what Carlos really is. And what about that? What about that concept as a you know, Presley? Sell him off if he gets some of his stuff back. Sell off some veterans.
Well, you still got to have some guys. I mean.
For what?
Well, I mean, unless you're going to just tank.
Long term, no, yeah.
And just build up the farm system again.
If you don't look like you can win a championship. What about the short-term pain of selling off Greinke and Presley and Correa? Because you still have George, you still have Bregman, you still have Altuve, you still have Yordan. I mean, you still have Yuli. You're not Brantley. Of course, you know, you still have to make decisions on all those guys, a lot of those guys too. So it's not, you're not done. I mean, your sell-off could include Yuli if you potentially wanted to. But you also have a new set of pitchers that may be showing their faces. They may be showing themselves. It's not Force Whitley. Maybe it is going to be Christian Javier.
Or
maybe
Bielak.
It is going to be Fromber. Maybe Bielak is going to be a starter. And Lance McCullers, and all of a sudden, and Urquidy, and all of a sudden you say, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
McCullers, Urquidy, Bielak, Fromber, and Javier? That's five starters right there. Now, maybe they're not good enough, and you haven't faced the greatest lineups with them. Like, it's not like you're going up against the Yankees.
Well, you can get rid of Springer's $20 million. You get rid of $8 million for Correa. You're going to get rid of $13 million with Josh Reddick.
It's got to be. But
you're
going to
get rid of, after next year, you get rid of Berlander's $33 million, $35 million.
Like, I'm not looking for a bunch of free money so that you can. I'm looking for prospects, rebuild guys. And
well, you get prospects for Springer and Correa right now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's what I'm saying. Maybe in the short term, I know it's something that the general fan base, to the general fan base, this is still like take it back, earn it back, all that stuff. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, you got a weak farm system right now.
One of the worst.
You've got some guys who may not be long-term Astros, and you've got some aging pitchers who are going to be out soon enough, or in one case may have pitched his last game. What about the idea of a short-term sell-off in a pandemic year to expedite the process of the rebuild while you still have these hitters on your roster? I don't think it's crazy, and I think the young pitching staff might make it to where it's not as bad a, you know, it doesn't hurt you as bad as you think it might.
Yeah.
Because Carlos, I feel like it's inevitable that Carlos is going to leave.
Yep. More than likely. More than likely, especially now with A-Rod buying the team. 743 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. I want to talk right now about Chastain Ford. They've got so many deals on the vehicles. Now, remember I was telling you about 84 months on the 2019 F-150s. They're all gone. The 2019s are gone. But you still got the 2020s, and you still got 72 months on these things. So if you're looking for 7 years that you got interest-free payments for 7 years on these cars. It's unbelievable, people. This is a great time. You can lease. That's what I'm doing. I'm leasing the Expedition, and it's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. You can lease, too, and you got an EcoSport right now that you can get for $199. You can do it. And Chastain at home, it's so awesome. And Patrick told me, he said, we're selling so many cars, and nobody else does this. Nobody else lets you do the whole buying experience online. Someone will come on with you that you will talk to a person as soon as you get online, and they can help you navigate through exactly what you want. They will deliver it to you. You can do the whole experience online, buy it online. That will deliver it to you. You don't have to leave your house, and you can have a new car. And if you don't like it, you test drive it, don't like it, they'll pick it up, and they'll bring you a different one. All you got to do is go to ChastainFord.com and see that for yourself. Or if you want to go to the dealership, so clean, sanitized, they're practicing social distancing, you can touch and feel. That's how I like to touch and feel and see the cars myself. If that's what you want to do, you can do that as well at Chastain Ford, which is on 610, just 5 minutes from downtown on Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for that Ford car or truck, there's one place. It's Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So I heard the discussion this morning. Where's Kawhi? Where is Kawhi in basketball lore?
You know, it's funny. My son, Alec, he's Mr. Sports talk all the time. He reads, he watches Pat McAfee, he watches Colin Cowherd, he I don't even know where he gets. I don't even see him watching TV. I think he just watches them all off of his phone. And he said something the other day about Colin Cowherd. I said, ooh, because you know, I had Colin Cowherd call him for his birthday last year. I said, ooh, I'm going to tell Colin Cowherd. He's like, I don't care. He's been saying some dumb stuff lately. I said, like what? Like the fact that Kawhi Leonard, if he wins a championship this year, he has to be considered in the top, that he deserves consideration on the top five greatest players. I don't know that, I don't think that's what you say, but what do you say about a guy who could win three titles with three teams? How many players win three titles with three teams?
No, Kawhi is a difference maker. There's no question about it. Okay.
I mean, LeBron is going for three titles, three teams.
Right, right.
I mean, he's going for that. Kawhi may beat him to it. We'll find out. Small, they're a little bit, the Clippers are a little bigger favorite than the Lakers now to win a title. It just got weird with Milwaukee not playing great basketball.
So here's the thing, though, and it's funny. was Kawhi the best player regular season, all throughout the season when he won in San Antonio? He had the best series. He won NBA Finals MVP.
No, I think he was the best player. This is Mr. New Balance. He doesn't really have a big splashy brand. So he was better than Tony Parker. He's better than Manu. He's better than Tim Duncan. He was the best.
It's arguable. Was he the best player?
Who did you think was better back then?
Well, Manu had a wonderful.
They had good. They had some good basketball players who are past their prime, I think, but they still play good team basketball. But I think Kawhi was the emerging superstar from that.
Oh, team. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he averaged 25.
It's pretty good. He was definitely the best player on that team. He's definitely the best player on Toronto. He just doesn't have the personality. Kind of like Tim Duncan. It's weird. He's very similar to Tim Duncan in that way.
Yeah. So his real plus minus that year. It's funny, man. There are some that say. Well, I'm looking at the thing right now. It says was Kawhi even the best player on the Toronto? Real plus minus, Kyle Lowry was the best player on that team. And when you look at real plus minus, it's the best players in the league every year. This year, it's Giannis, it's LeBron, it's James Harden, it's Jokic, it's Chris Paul, and then it's Kyle Lowry, and then it's Kawhi Leonard. And last year, it's the same
nobody
actors.
Nobody on earth that would take Kyle Lowry over Kawhi Leonard.
No. But because when on it comes the court, time what to, he's doing, though.
When it comes time to win, I just know that.
No. I'm not saying take him. I'm just saying with production on the court, and you look at last year, it was Steph Curry, LeBron James, James Harden, Antetokounmpo, Lowry, Paul George, Kyrie Irving. It was the usual suspects of the best players in the league. And that's a pretty good indication. Now, Kyle Lowry, maybe not getting what he deserves as far as, because he did have, but how about Fred VanVleet? How much is this dude making? He was on fire yesterday again.
Yeah, he got hot in the playoffs.
He's red hot in the playoffs.
Well, he's turned into a player.
He's turned into a real player.
He's turned into a
dude
player.
Dude is going to get paid. Okay.
Siakam, look, Toronto was not, in retrospect, Siakam hit his stride right at the right time. VanVleet hit his stride right at the right time. Kyle Lowry's always been a good player. And then Kawhi is a really good player. You threw them all in a mix together. You had a good coach. You had actually a good bench. And Kawhi actually didn't play dominant ball in the finals, for example. But, VanVleet was a huge, huge part of that series, especially in the final game. But there's something about what he brings to the table as a player. He's a great defender. And he steps up in situations. When you need him to in a situation, you never get the sense that he shies away from big situations. You never get the sense that he shrinks when he's faced with a big situation. There is something to be said about that.
But whether or not Kawhi Leonard is an all-time great?
I don't think he's an all-time great right now. But if he wins another one, I mean, what are you going to say? What can you say about it then? Were the Clippers close to winning a championship last year?
No. And he's doing it. It was brought up. He's doing it in an organization. Now, San Antonio is one thing, but doing it at Toronto and doing it for the Clippers.
These aren't headline. And no. Look, he's got a good player with him in Paul George. There's no question about that.
And he had Siakam last year and Kyle Lowry.
But those weren't superstars that he courted on a banana boat.
No, but it
somewhere.
Turns out Siakam was pretty good.
No, yeah, he's good. But he didn't banana boat them.
No.
He didn't have to go.
No.
Hey guys, I'll go rub each other's backs and then see where we're all going. Didn't get weird like that. He just said, "I'll go to Toronto."
Is that what it got in Miami? Don't got weird like that.
First of all, yes, it did get weird. He didn't say I would go to Toronto. What he said was, "I'm never playing for the Spurs again. Make a trade," and then the Spurs traded him to Toronto
and thought, "Ha ha, we're gonna send you to Toronto."
Yeah, and it didn't work out for him. So let's not pretend Kawhi was so altruistic in joining the Toronto Raptors. He's like, I don't trust what the Spurs have said or treating my injury. I'm never playing for you again. Find
it
a deal.
It got weird. The Uncle Dennis thing got weird over there. That was not like Tim Duncan. Like how he went out over there. We've got Shea Serrano on our podcast for Off Script this week. Eric and I will tape on Wednesday. And I want to ask him about that. How does a lifelong Spurs fan handle, like, what's your opinion of Kawhi Leonard? Because it's not like a Carlos Beltran thing when the Astros had him in 2004 and he just killed it and then he left and Astros fans were all mad. I mean, he was a rental player who stayed as a rental player. Randy Johnson was a rental player who was unbelievable, and then he was only a rental player. This was Kawhi's was homegrown. He was drafted by the Spurs. He grew up with the Spurs. He won a championship with the Spurs. And then there was just an ugly, bitter divorce between Greg Popovich and Kawhi. And I kind of wonder how Spurs fans deal with that, where they position Kawhi. Do they have love for Kawhi, or is it still hurt feelings? Because, I mean, he won a title with somebody else right after that, and he may win one with even another team this year. Man, it's got to count. That's got to count for something.
Mm-hmm.
The titles follow this guy around?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to give him this year's title yet.
Well, no. I mean, there's a long way to go, but if he does, and, you know, the way he's playing, we'll see. That's a hell of a team. And they beat Dallas last night, 118-110. Fred Van Vliet went off yesterday. Toronto wins. What else? Who else?
Utah, Denver went to overtime. Donovan Mitchell had
57.
In a losing effort.
Had a 8-second count when they're up by four in the fourth quarter. That kind of changed the complexion of the game. But remember, Mike Conley's not even in the bubble because he was with his wife as they had their child.
Donovan Mitchell had the ball in his hands.
Huge
the whole game.
Mistake to go to the birth of your child whenever you're in a bubble trying to win a title.
Yeah,
no. That's what everyone will tell you.
Yeah, no, it is.
No one said that.
No, everyone said that.
No,
I said that.
Well, you're not everyone. Most people. You know what? Look at Mike Conley.
Kids get born every day. How often do you have a chance to win a title?
Mike Conley is the greatest man, and I'm here for it.
Mike Conley's kid.
PopSugar.com.
Mike Conley's kid doesn't get born every day.
No, but a kid gets born all the time.
And how many fathers miss them now?
A lot.
Now?
But used to be.
How many fathers are in the bubble?
I didn't say used to.
Used to be back in the day. You couldn't even go in there.
Well, it's not back in the day anymore.
Don't want to be there.
It doesn't.
Oh, it's gross.
Well, it's current, and I'm asking because I'm not going to
be involved.
Mike
Conley's a super dad, and I'm here for it.
Are you a...
He can be a super dad after he wins a title.
After he gets 8 assists, 9 assists in a game.
After he earns his
super
money.
Super dad after you hit that
leaving, J. Instead really of leaving while his team's in the playoffs.
Excuse me.
What?
In fact, I'll let her say it.
Excuse me.
Aren't you the man that when your children and wife head out for a week, it's maybe the most fun you've ever had? So I can't really trust you to speak
me?
No, not you.
Oh, him.
Him.
Yeah.
Well, this last one, if you consider fun laying in bed watching nothing but TV and not picking everything up.
And did you
that
enjoy
wasn't fun.
Yeah, you enjoyed yourself. So I can't really trust you when it comes to fatherhood.
See, that's how it is too, Del, with me. My wife, they were all gone last week. I played golf and then I played poker.
But you do that all the time.
I do that all the time.
No difference.
There's no difference.
I actually didn't do anything different this time.
But
that's
did you
what
enjoy
this stupid
the quiet?
Pandemic has done.
Did you enjoy the quiet? Enjoyed them
that?
Not being
you
there, right?
You can't hear a shrug.
Yeah. Did you enjoy them not being
I
there?
I missed their...
What did you miss?
I don't even know what to come up with.
You enjoyed them not
being
there.
I missed their talking and fighting.
No, you didn't.
No,
so I'm not going to take...
I missed the screaming. No.
So when we're talking about fatherhood and super dads, I'm not going to listen to you because...
Yeah, but I'm telling them this is how it goes. You got lots of time to get yelled at and screamed at and listen to all that stuff, Mike. This is a bubble.
Yeah.
Chance to hang with you fellas. Win a title.
The fellas.
Well,
he's only
I don't
only
know about
been
winning a
for
title.
Like 6 months. They're not his fellas.
They're his fellas. Are
these
kidding?
Are your guys. These are your
they're
boys.
Are you kidding?
They're not his fellas.
They're at war
Rudy.
Together. Are you
Rudy.
Kidding? They've got a bond that can never be broken
down.
He just got there.
And he just broke it by going to the...
No.
Instead of being with them in battle.
Excuse me.
Do you think the bond between Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell is so great? After you know,
I think it's,
the Corona,
I think it's
guess what?
Yeah. I think it's mending.
Great.
I don't think that group's all together.
I think it's mending.
I feel like Donovan Mitchell's like
because Donovan Mitchell was a ball.
I feel like
yesterday.
Donovan Mitchell's planning his exit.
He put up 57.
It's called a Mexit. Mitchell exit. Mexit.
That's fine. But
and then the Celtics beat the Sixers 109-101, which was.
It was competitive.
It actually was. Celtics had a big lead for a while, and then the Sixers came back and took the lead.
But then
it was
the Celtics
like,
covered.
Then the Celtics covered.
Yeah.
Then the Celtics.
And then the Clippers
Celtics
covered
won.
In the last few seconds.
You mean the Celtics
because,
won, right?
By the way,
covered.
Pat Beverly missed two free throws up six when they're laying seven.
Did anyone go?
And then Luka No, no one did that. And then Luka scored, and it was 4, and they're laying 7, and then they foul. And then they foul Kawhi Leonard, the aforementioned Kawhi Leonard. He hit 2 free throws, and it's 6. Then they miss a jumper, and then Kawhi Leonard gets the ball.
Why are we relaying your misery or joy at the end of the game?
And then Kawhi Leonard has 2 more free throws to cover, and he hits them both. All I know is, you can say what you want about Kawhi Leonard, I just know he went 4 for 4 on the free throw line to get the cover late in that game. So,
God, talking to gamblers.
Happy with Kawhi Leonard as opposed to, and then he goes and he hits
all-time
2 free throws.
One of the all-time greats.
And they're 7 and it puts
it to
8.
Who's more clutch than him? Nobody.
Jerk.
I mean,
Beverly, not clutch. Well, Kawhi Leonard, clutch.
Pat Beverly has never been considered clutch. So why would he have done it?
Janky-ass free throw shooter, too.
Ooh, wow. Well, that just sounds like a jab to me.
It's the same every time. That sounds like a jab. You mean like sight jab?
Man, you just jabbed him, Lance.
Actually, it's funny. The owner says, I said, where did sight jab come from? He goes, I'm a boxing fan. Jab is jab. I said, oh, okay. It is what it is. Sight jab is really... Just think of this. It's a way for them to beat up your old website and get the thing running the way it's supposed to be. Your website, even if it's 2 years old, it could be out of function. And if you did it yourself, so many people have, well, our guy who's in charge of parts, he did the website. Oh, okay. Well, let SiteJab take a look at it, because there's a chance they did a really good job, but it's not a great chance. And what SiteJab does is, this is a company who's been in the business for over 2 decades. They've kept up with the changes of websites, and it's really become fine-tuned so that the design and the flow and the user interface is set up for you to get the longest contact with the eyes that are on your site, so that you can convert those eyes into leads and the leads into business. So small and medium-sized businesses are really doing a great job of finding companies like SiteJab right here in Houston, who will work with them either in person or on Zoom and get your site where it needs to be. It's efficient, it's quick, it's clean, and you are going to see the benefit. Give yourself the best chance that you can for your small to medium-sized business to thrive with my friends over at SiteJab. Go look at their work. Click portfolio on the site, and you'll see for yourself. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.